Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we're talking with Sherry Luke, a wonderful friend that I met at Shambhala, the music festival in Canada this summer. We're going to be talking about how she's helping with a self-care facility up in Canada for preteens and teens. So it's great to hear about what kind of resources kids are getting these days and how they're seeking them out themselves. We also talk about her own self-love journey. And I think you're gonna love it. Pardon the that we recorded this in like 9 segments because every like 4.5 minutes the recording would cut out. So just keep that in mind, and it's great. So enjoy, friends.
Sherry Luke! No. No. Really?
Is this happening? Hey!
Yes.
Aww. How are you?
So freaking good. You have no idea. You have no idea. I can't believe it's been like 6 months.
I know, right?
It's been like, oh my gosh. Okay, Sherry Luke, right off the bat.
Yes.
What did you see when we met? Give me everything that you saw.
It was like a super beautiful moment, because it was at the pagoda and I was with my crew, and I have this tendency of just like wanting to like wander around, especially if I have like gifts to give, or if I have, because when I saw you guys, I had the sunglasses. So like, I love interacting with people, and like especially like crowds, like people who are just kind of doing their own thing and like tapping them on the shoulder and like giving them the glasses and having like all the rainbows in their face just like explode. So I love doing that. So I had left my group, I was wandering a little bit, and then like it's so beautiful. And then there was your dad, and he just had the sweetest like the face. He was just so sweet looking, and I'm pretty sure we like locked eyes, and then we had this massive amazing hug. It was like, I'd have to say yours and his hug was the best that I had at Shambhala, which if you know that, that's a thing. Like, there's so many hugs happening, like,
oh my god,
best ones. Oh, it was so good. And it was just, it was like one of those moments that I just knew like this was where I was supposed to be, because I only came for the Sunday night, and normally I'm there from like Tuesday to like Monday. So for us it was a shorter Sham. And when I what ended up like having that moment, and like we just hugged and it felt like forever, and then he like shared with me what he was going through, and it was like I just felt so connected, and like this is where I was supposed to be, this was the interaction I'm supposed to have, this is the hug I'm supposed to experience, this is the story I'm supposed to share and, you know, like listen to. And then afterwards, and then he pointed to you, and then I'm like, what, this is amazing. And then I gave you a hug. And it was just, it was an unreal moment. Yeah. That is what I remember, at least. And for you?
That was the best. Oh my God. Oh, I'm just right back there. I'm just right back there. I just couldn't believe it. Jeez, man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just that whole night was just amazing. Just so many wonderful people and just interactions and love everywhere. And yeah, that was absolutely one of my highlights, and kind of being witnessed, I would say, by so many people, like my dad and I, like having like just hundreds of witnesses, thousands of witnesses of what our relationship was like changing, going through and all that stuff. So
definitely.
There's nothing like that. Sherry Luke, I got a few more questions for you now.
Yes, I'm ready.
Where has self-love come into play in your life?
Oh man. Like I'm super grateful and fortunate to be where I'm at now with self-love, and it's given me the opportunity to see how much of a big part it plays in my life, and that it's become part of my work now and my job and my passion, which I don't know if everyone gets to be that lucky. I'm a youth coordinator, and for myself, like having the audacity to try and be a good role model, to be like someone in this world that the youth can look up to in a way that they are seen and they're heard and they're listened to. And for myself, it's that constant reminder, like when it Hello again.
Sometimes you just got to try again.
That's super funny, because I was just like still going on, and then I'm like, yeah. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, shoot.
Oh, no. It's gone.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Let's see. So last I heard was as a youth coordinator and how that works into that.
Yes.
That's the last night.
Yeah. So, yeah, self-love. And for myself, it's I know that I have the amazing opportunity to have influence, and especially positive influence. So when it comes to self-love, like it's almost, I almost feel like I have even more of a permission, which sounds silly, but even more of a permission to love myself greatly, because I know when I'm demonstrating it and I'm living it, that when my youth look towards me and they see the things that I'm doing or the words I'm saying to myself and the way I'm treating myself, like that it's okay, that it's not a bad thing. Like I'm right now, it's called self-care. And with these like 11 to 15 year old youth, we're going through things about talking about stress, talking about anxiety, and like things that we can do for ourselves and how we can, you know, in a sense, like learn the different habits that will help us when it comes to like having self-care, self-love, and everything.
Wow. And how did that part of the program come to be?
Mostly just like for myself, I'm an absolute like personal development junkie. Like I came to like this path of just like realizing that I have this one life, that I've been given such a gift in it. And the better I make myself, the better mentor, role model I can be. So constantly like reading and learning and, you know, figuring out who I am and, you know, things that I'm not okay with, then okay, how do I demonstrate what I want to be then? How can I learn more? How can I love more? And working with the youth, I ended up getting to know a little bit more when it comes to them feeling stressed out, that having anxiety and depression, that it's really, I can't say it's like happening more. I don't know for sure. I just say that the conversation is happening and coming up a lot more.
Mm.
So with my youth and hearing them, like, you know, that they're struggling in school, they're having anxiety attacks, that they feel, you know, like they're feeling depressed, they're going, you know, with friends who are going through the same thing. And if I look back at when I was a teenager and thinking about what did I do to get through that, or who did I have? And, you know, sometimes if I was lucky enough, I had like, you know, a youth pastor or something like that, or like an older friend or a mentor. But a lot of those times it was me just struggling on my own. And part of the program is just to kind of give them a bit of a community and a network, because it's youth throughout the whole Creston area. So there's about 16,000 population in the surrounding area. So there's a lot of youth, and they can go to different schools and they might not know each other. And to give them almost like a space where they can talk. And if they have a friend that they're comfortable with, they can bring them. And they get to talk to other youth who are going through the same struggles as they are. So
that's amazing.
It's been incredible. It's the second, I just had my second session of the fully launched program last year I was doing more of a pilot program, and I had like a handful of youth that I'd been working with. And
this, if you know, if this just keeps happening, it's really fine. It's gonna be really okay. But see, yeah. This time the last thing I heard was a handful of youth.
Okay, nice. Okay. So in my pilot group, I was working with a handful of youth who I had gotten to know pretty closely over the past year. And I was able to kind of ask them the questions and figure out what this self-care group, what topics would be the best to go over. And then launching it again and actually being a bit more open, not so much open, but more like advertising within the community that there's this thing called the self-care sessions, and it's for youth to learn tools and strategies and to have support when it comes to dealing with, you know, like right now it's stress and anxiety, and next month it's going to be health and nutrition. And then we have one about self-esteem and self-confidence. And then we'll have another one about volunteerism, and then ending it off with doing kind of more self-awareness and job ready skills, and getting them either thinking in a place where they can go into a job or a situation and they'd feel confident because of how much like personal development they've been doing on themselves, like, you know, like how they interact or how they react. So when it comes to like a job situation, that they'll have more confidence in themselves, and therefore I think just be even better at whatever job they decide to go for.
Definitely. And again, how old are these kids?
So my youngest is 11 and a half, and then my oldest one is 16.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Wow. Yeah. And why that age range?
Well, it's interesting. For the program that I'm working under, it serves the youth between the ages of 12 and 18. Where I live, the Columbia Basin, they've set aside money for different community programs and events, and they gave a certain amount of money to 28 different communities to have a youth network there. So it's pretty amazing, like the amount of funding that we get to have. So for me, like when I'm designing my program, so I'm looking between anyone between the ages of 12 and 18 might show up. So for this one, it's been interesting to see how many younger youth are interested in doing something like this.
Yeah.
I might have thought it'd been like the 16, 17, 18 year olds, but it's actually the younger ones. And it's been like eye-opening for me to realize at, you know, the ages of 11, the ages of 12 and 13, like what they're already going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, for myself, really understanding like this has such a great opportunity to make an impact on youth at this age, that when they do get to like being 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that they'll have a good foundation of what they might understand when it comes to them dealing with whatever life throws at them. So
yeah,
it's pretty. Yeah.
And you're saying that they're signing up themselves.
Yes. Which was the crazy. That's
amazing.
Yes. Because the parents, I put it on Facebook, like where I live, Facebook is pretty much where you know and learn about everything because we're such a small community.
Yeah.
So I put it up on like a Facebook group and pages, and it was all the parents contacting me, but saying that their kid saw it and wants to do it. And
wow. That
blew me away. Yeah.
Like, so like they understand, they're like, that's a big step of like understanding that when someone needs support. Like,
mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, man.
It continues.
Yes.
So they're signing up that they are getting awareness and feel like good reaching out for help themselves. And when they're like in the pilot program, like what has been for them, at least in the like anxiety part, like what has been their biggest causes that have been shared, if that can be discussed?
Yeah. It's been like what have they shared that they've known that helps them, you mean?
Like What have they shared that's like been their biggest stressors?
Ooh, some of their biggest stressors? Mm-hmm. It's the responsibility they feel for their younger siblings.
Really?
Yeah, and that one blew me away because for me, I'm personally, I am the baby of the family. And mm-hmm. I don't know who really thinks about, like, you know, the eldest child gets a lot of that pressure to like take care of the kids, to get the snacks, to do more cleaning up, and forgetting that they're still just a kid. And sometimes they get a little bit more the burden, but a little bit more of the responsibility. And I think it's a great opportunity, of course, for kids to have responsibility and to learn. But I wonder then if adults or parents think about having a chat with their kids and saying, you know, like, the reason that I look to you to take care of your brother or your sister is because, you know, I really believe that you're a very responsible, you know, child or youth or a teen. And I really appreciate it. And knowing that I can depend on you really helps me take care of the whole family and things like that. Like, I don't know if those are the conversations that are happening between, you know, a child and their parent.
Yeah.
Their parent might just go along assuming that it's okay. So yeah. Things like, yeah, like I wouldn't have thought that would have been a huge stress, but that's one of them. And then also school, and they worry a lot about failing and not getting a grade. And, you know, like, it's hard because I really feel and honestly believe that school is just meant to teach you and get you to teach yourself how to learn and how to figure out how to get the answer. It's not to memorize all these answers. It's to teach you that you have resources, and if you're resourceful enough, then you can figure it out.
I wish that was something that someone told me.
Yes, right? Right? Because then you'd feel more confident. You'd realize that you're just there to figure out your own abilities. You're not comparing yourself to anyone. It doesn't matter, like, what Bobby got. It doesn't matter what Jessica got. Like, you're not in competition with them. You're in competition with yourself just to better yourself so that when another test comes, you can do well. Because you realize, like, hey, maybe you don't study well when you're having, like, the TV on, or maybe you need to have music so you aren't distracted. And those sort of tools that they can learn and realize, like, oh, well, I figured out how to get an A in science. I'm sure I can, you know, figure out something else in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's definitely not one that I would have ever thought of either. Like, and especially I'm an only child, so I've never had that kind of experience. Because what a treat every time. So someone that I work with, who is also a rock climbing coach, and he is with a lot of kids, and he says he sees them, and a lot of them are like anxious, depressed, and there's like, he technically can't give them advice, which is crazy, like, because the laws. And he attributes it, you know, like, high school, like, as in high stress from school, and then like social media, like Instagram comparisons and stuff. And so I don't know. And also, have you seen the movie Eighth Grade?
I haven't. Is it good?
Yeah. It's really, it's great. It's by Bo Burnham, and it like shines a light on what kids in, you know, like, obviously eighth grade kind of experience, and shines a light on the negative aspects. But, you know, of course it's a movie, so who knows, like, it's like how realistic it is, but a big portion of it is shined on like how the damaging parts of social media. So that's awesome that they are looking out for themselves and getting that support. And also, when did you, like, you've always, you, it sounds like you've been a growth junkie kind of for a while. When did you get that bug that inside of you?
Well, that's a good question. So before, I'd say my life has like a before and after. I feel like I started to, you know, become more conscious and more aware. It was probably when I met my partner, Dylan, who was also at Shopalon back there doing his own thing.
Nice. Oh, yes. Was he wearing bear hat? Was he wearing
his mom? Oh, he might have been wearing the bear hat. His mom was wearing a bear hat, and then he usually has like a fuzzy vest and then like soft fuzzy gloves.
Yeah. Okay. I think I remember him. And also, I just realized some people on this podcast are not going to know what Shambhala is. Could you give them a very brief little, what is Shambhala?
Well, Shambhala is an electronic music festival, and I'd say it's also called like a very transformative festival. I feel like most people, I can't say all because I obviously can't talk to everyone that went to Shambhala. I'd say like most people, when they go there, they end up having that life-altering experience and having a very connectedness feeling afterwards. I've gone the last 4 years, I think. Nice. And every time it's been like I've rediscovered who I am, or like I've been reminded of who I am, which is an amazing, you know, experience to do, and do it yearly. I love that.
Yeah.
So it happens every year. It goes from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's in a small little farm in the Kootenays. And it's worth checking out.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for that. Oh, okay. So you met Dylan.
Yeah. So up until that point, like I grew up in like the town that I was living in. I hadn't really left. Like I lived in Calgary, Alberta for a little bit. And I lived in like Vancouver area for a little bit, but up until then I'd been very like comfortable and content with my life here. And I was one of the typical like Monday to Friday kind of living for the weekend. I really didn't care too much about my body or like my health. And I was more interested in like going out and partying all the time. And then I ended up
going out and partying all the time.
Yes. And just, you know, living up my 20s and not really wanting any commitment anyways. And I was just enjoying myself. But then I met Dylan, and he at that point had already been kind of a hippie, and he was very different. And he was saving up all of his money to go traveling to South America. He wanted to go to Peru. He was going to go do ayahuasca. So he was like,
oh, yes.
Not your typical like small hick town boy. So when I met him, like I was like, he's so different. And we became friends and started hanging out lots, and there was attraction. But he was gonna go travel and go like to Peru, and like he wanted to travel like between 3 to 5 years. Like he was planning to be gone for a while. So we decided to have a temporary relationship, like understanding that we only had like, I think it was, and it's something like 4 months to date.
Oh wow.
But knowing that but at the time, like not half-assing it, because that's what we both agreed. Like if we're going to spend time together, we're really going to spend, like, this is going to be a real relationship.
Yeah.
Even though it's ending, that doesn't mean that we can't, doesn't mean we can't be good communicators, you know, doesn't mean we can't be best friends and everything like that. So it was actually the best relationship I had ever had, because there was no room for bullshit. Is that okay?
That is totally fine.
There was no room for bullshit. And if someone annoyed the other person, like we didn't just like talked about it. We like, you know, we said, you know, that that hurt my feelings, and that's not how I want to get talked to, or, you know, I need some space and this is what I'd like. So we just jumped right in, and at the end of it, like we were best friends. And when he left, like it sucked. Like a lot, but at the same time, he was going to do this amazing dream that he had for forever. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do the ceremony and, you know, really find out who he is. So it was more or less by dating him and like being in his proximity that I ended up realizing, like through that, changing my diet to improve my health and improve my body. And because he was already doing that. And by doing that, it like that continued down the self-love journey and realizing like, it's really easy to abuse food, and it's easy to abuse diet when you're not having, you know, that at the core of who you want to be. I'm someone who loves myself. I'm someone who takes care of myself. And going from there, realizing, you know, like how much mental space can be taken up by, you know, having negative self-talk or carrying baggage that, you know, happened in the past and not letting it go, and continuously working on that. So yeah, it's been, there was like before Dylan Sherry and then after Dylan Sherry.
That's beautiful. That's so awesome. Isn't that amazing? Like when just one person can just completely change your life like that.
Definitely. And it's been incredible. Like we're going on officially 4 years in April, because we have like two anniversary dates. One of them is like our unofficial fifth year, and then we have our official fourth year.
nice.
Yeah,
you get all those anniversaries, those official and unofficial ones.
We couldn't remember official, so we just picked April 21st. Like it might have been around April. How do we celebrate this day?
That sounds good. That sounds great. Man, yeah. That's awesome. What would be some of your struggles with negative self-talk?
For me, like the struggle I usually have is around my skin and my weight. Like that's where I struggle. I've always been like a little bit heavier throughout like my teenage years, like my 20s. And now that I'm in my 30s, I'm a lot more aware of it. And by changing my diet, I ended up dropping something like 40 pounds.
Nice.
And it was amazing. And so like when I met Dylan, like I wasn't healthy at all. And I drank, and not that I condone drinking, is just the excessiveness that I had with it. It wasn't a good idea. And, So it was always like a constant struggle. And by changing my diet and going paleo and now, you know, doing more of a keto friendly diet and taking care of my
a keto diet.
Yes. So now that I'm doing keto, like I'm able to help my body and, you know, get to a place where I feel like it's a healthy weight. And I also dealt with having eczema from about the age of 4 to like now. And I learned after, like, a lot of it had to do with like when I was born and everything that, you know, can really affect when it comes to your immune system. My biological mom had me when she was 13. And since she wasn't really like in a space or her body wasn't ready to have a child, ended up being a C-section. And when it came to breastfeeding, like she wasn't able to nurse me. So I was given formula right from day one. There's a lot of research now talking about when children are cesareans, there's something birthing that the children, they end up missing, and it's harder on their immune systems. So since the age of 4, I've dealt with eczema that would be kind of bad around this changing of the seasons. And it wasn't until just before I met Dylan that I had to quit using any of the topical steroid creams because they stopped working on my body. Like my skin kind of got to the point where it stopped reacting. And when it comes to that, like the next step is like steroid injections and like really harsh, like immunosuppressants that you have, like taking orally, like stuff that you know can't be good for your body. And with that, I ended up going through something called topical steroid withdrawal, where my skin ends up getting really like sensitive and like my face turns red and like if it's a flare up, and then after the flare up it gets super like ridiculously flaky, and that can be hard on my self-confidence. So it's been something that I've kind of had to grow through by going through and understand again, like it's temporary, and that I'm not just beautiful because of my looks. It comes, the beauty comes from, you know, the self-care that I give myself, the person that I am and the person that I want to be. And that's what I need to remember. Like I'm going through, you know, like skin issues, but it's not always going to be this way. And having that confidence. And again, like it was harder, I'd say a couple years ago when I first started going through it a lot, But now where I'm at, I know, even like in the position that I'm in, that if I let something like my skin stop me from doing something, you know, like say going outside or going in public or anything like that, that on some level, it, the message that I'm going to be giving to my young girls is that, you know, you're not sociably acceptable unless you look perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not the message I want to be giving. So it's given me like that little reminder and that nudge that the self-talk I need to be telling myself is really important, because not only do I need to believe it, but I need to, I'm still passing along that message to the ones that are watching too.
Wonderful. Wonderful leadership there. Thank you for doing that. Finding the strength within yourself and understanding what really matters.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Wow. And like, it's so true. Like in, for the girls that I get to hang out with that don't do my self-care, it's the ones that I wish I could bring them and get them to come. Mm-hmm. Because for them, when it comes to like that social media pressure, like I see it, and the comparison game, or the fact that you have to always look good, or you have to be, you know, having a Snapchat filter on. And if you don't, then, you know, it's not a good picture, or you don't look pretty.
Right.
And like trying to have a voice that's louder than that. Like, it's okay if you have a pimple. It's okay if you have a bad hair day. Like it's 100% fine.
Yeah. It's 100% fine.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Nice. That's great, man. This is, I think, the eighth time. Which is great.
You get to say hello that many times. I think we're really, it's been 6 months, so we had to have like a lot of hey.
That's awesome. What else do you want to tell people about self-love that they might not know?
That's a really great question. Something they might not know about self-love. I think for myself, what I didn't know about self-love before was asking how to do it. So it sounds so strange, but like it was probably through that I had more from Dylan that I wouldn't have known how to have self-love then, or what it looks like. You know, it started off, you know, for myself being a diet switch, but it turned into so much more. So it's all those like little, they almost seem like micro movements. Mm-hmm. And yeah, being vulnerable about asking. When you see someone who's like, you look at them and you're like, how are they doing that? Like, they have such a positive attitude, you know, they seem like super passionate, or they're a great listener. And maybe they have like a really solid like self-care routine. And I've kind of piggybacked now my partner, like what he does in the mornings. Like, we both get up fairly early, we meditate, we exercise and do some yoga. And then we write in our performance journals and kind of setting our days up that way.
Wow. Yeah. That's a very, very wonderful morning.
Yeah, it makes things really great. Like for myself, I tend to get overwhelmed and stressed, and it's probably why I'm like super adamant about teaching them how to, like, you know, just find the way they can have peace even in stress, is because it's something that I'm constantly like challenging myself to do. So with my job, like I'm wearing a lot of hats right now, and they're all more or less in the same line of work, which I really love. And like, it gives me a great opportunity that I get to work with so many different youth and in such different environments. I'm also an educational assistant at an elementary school. I'm going to be working with PE teachers to develop more physical literacy for their PE classes. And then I do two separate youth groups, as well as doing the self-care programming. And then I'm also going to be starting being a contracted job coach. to young women. So I get to kind of do the same thing, but wearing different hats. And with that, sometimes I can get overwhelmed when I realize like there might be an overlap in my schedule and I don't know how I'm gonna make it work out. So having that come up, like before I'd have like that instant reaction of like, oh no, it's gonna mess up, or oh no, I can't do it. And it's always like an automatic negative thought instead of like taking a deep breath going, okay, what would this look like if it were easy? And is there someone, can I ask someone to adjust something so I can make it work for my schedule? And also understanding like.
And also understanding that.
What was the last part?
That you can move something on your schedule and that's all I got.
Nice. So more or less like people who are super like they can accommodate shifts and changes in schedules. And when I ask, it's not a huge ask. And in my mind, I always feel like I'm imposing. So it's been interesting. Like the last 2 weeks have been like the most solid I've been with committing to my routine. Nice. And being such a change in myself. Like I usually get stressed at least once a day. And like to the point where Dylan's like, Sherry, just breathe. I'm like, you're right. Okay. I can relax. And that hasn't happened once since I've committed to doing my morning routine.
That's and really cool.
Yeah. Like because part of my autoimmune, like if I get stressed, like my skin instantly gets red and like can have like a flare up. So it's really bad that I haven't been able to manage my stress, mostly because for my body, like it's telling it's like, it's in a fight or flight mode. And it's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. Don't want to stay there for too
long. No.
That's awesome. Dang, thanks for sharing that. Wow. Well, I have in about 15 minutes a birthday engagement to go to. I have to get going here. But Sherry, thank you so much for being on the show, and for like sharing stories. Like, thank you for what you're doing for your community. Like, you are just like you're improving so many people's lives and just doing the important work that needs to be done, you know, for the next generation and even our generation. Like, inspiring me and whoever's listening, like seeing that this is happening, that you're doing this. It's just really incredible. Are you going to Shambhala next year?
Oh, I sure am. And my mother-in-law is going to go for the whole week. So
yes. Okay. Well, we already got our tickets over here. So I cannot wait for us to meet up there. Like,
oh, that'll be so good.
That'd be so cool.
I literally live like 20 minutes away from Shambhala.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
You guys ever like, you want to come crash or if you're coming early?
Oh, for reals?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. I feel like the night before, like if you guys are not already there, like.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Yeah. All right. Damn it. Oh, this is so good. Oh yeah. My gosh. Oh, thank you. Sherry.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Do you have any 10 seconds last words before it cuts out one more time?
10 seconds last word.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, man. I don't think I do.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. I have a blank mind going like, no, it's just so good.
It's just so good. It's just so great. Gosh, it really is. Oh, all right, Sherry. Take it
easy
and keep living that wonderful life you're living.
Oh, thanks, you too.
All right.
Bye.
Love and.
Really inspiring to hear what Sherry Luke is doing for kids, and this seems like something that is really needed around the world at the moment.
Thank you, Sherry, for being a leader in this space. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and hope to hear from some of you. Feel free to reach out on loveamp.com if you guys have any questions on self-love, want some consulting, one-on-one sessions. We got it all going on there. So, until next time, love yourselves out there, everyone.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.